Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, a show designed to share spiritual insights with you so that you can comprehend the universe and how it functions. You are about to experience raised consciousness. This is a place where spiritual principles are shared with the goal of assisting you to expand your understanding of both the seen and unseen worlds. Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality helps you to discern the timeless truths handed down from wise sages through the ages from the airy-fairy nonsense that is being taught today. Now, here is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth.
Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, the radio show that disseminates esoteric knowledge and common sense spirituality. I'm Sharon Lynn Wyeth, creator of Namology Science, the ability to know all about a person's personality and the soul's purpose simply from a person's name. Now, you know, our music is by Dee Lamour. It's the music that's heard in her song, Shine, that we always end our program with because I just think it's an outstanding, beautiful, uplifting piece of music. And you can hear more of her music at her website, which is dlamour.com. That's dlemor.com. And Shine is also available on all streaming platforms. Now, our topic today is how to unlock our intuition and connection to your own higher self, how to discern what you're receiving and who are you getting it from? How do you know that you're simply not making up the answers? What are some of the keys to awakening your psychic potential? And then we might want to tap into how Edgar Cayce did this. Now, our special guest today is Carol Ann Liaros. Now, I've met Carol years ago now. It appears to be years ago now. And she is just delightful, and I'm so glad she was able to join us today. Carol Ann Liaros is a world-renowned psychic and the subject of numerous psychic research studies who have tested at the Human Dimensions Institute in Buffalo, New York. And she's always been between 23% and 97% accurate when predicting the future. And she's been mentioned in dozens of books worldwide and has been given readings for over 40 years. Now, she's appeared on hundreds of radio and television shows, starting in 1981, and even appeared in the documentary movie Inner Spaces with one of the original six astronauts to visit the moon, who was Edgar Mitchell. Now, she's also presented at Edgar Cayce Center, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, for well over 15 years now. And Carol Ann is just a delight, and when you have a reading with her, it's just amazing what she comes up with and how quickly she comes up with it. So, Carol Ann, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Luminescence.
Oh, sure. That's my pleasure. Believe me, we had such a good time the last time we were together that I was really looking forward to this.
Yay! So, we're talking about how to unlock our intuition and connection to your own higher self. So, how do you suggest that people do that?
Well, first of all, I'd like to define the difference between psychic and intuition. Although it's used interchangeably by most people, it really is two distinctly different processes. For example, psychic is through the senses. When I'm giving a reading, I'm either seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, or tasting. That's psychic. It's of the senses. Intuition, as different than that, is instant knowledge is the way I would describe that. Someone will say, well, I haven't seen anything, heard anything, felt anything. I just knew it. So these are two different processes. Now, interestingly enough, most people and most psychics use both psychic and intuition. And it shows up in the handwriting in different ways, interestingly enough. So when we're talking about the psychic process, what I do in my classes and workshops is tell people to pay attention to everything they see, hear, feel, smell, and taste, and not be afraid to verbalize it or write it down, whatever they're doing to do this tuning in process. And what I have found in the over 55 years I've been in this field is that the problem with most people is that they don't have confidence in themselves. They don't trust in themselves, and for good reason. They don't have a track record to, you know, say, oh, well, I was this much accurate, so therefore I can pretty much trust it in this instance. And so I was very fortunate in being in the laboratory working with scientists from 1966 to 1974. And so I got a lot of feedback in the different experiments we did. We did psychometry experiments where I'd hold the object of someone I hadn't met and never did meet. And I would, you know, give my impressions, and then I'd get feedback from it. Well, you were accurate here, 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 but inaccurate here. And what I discovered was that the more feedback I got, the more I could trust my ability. For example, one of the things we quickly discovered was that I am really zero accurate, maybe a little bit more than zero, accurate at finding lost objects. So that is something if someone calls and says, you know, I want to make a reading so that she can find my lost diamond ring or whatever it is, and we will say, no, I don't do that. I'm lousy at that, frankly. The things we discovered by these experiments was that I was most accurate when predicting the future and when describing people, describing their personality. So I ended up working with a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists and so on. So what I suggest to people is to practice. And they say, well, you know, my friends don't believe in this stuff, so how can I practice? Well, it's very easy. Just turn on your television set. And how many shows are on where you don't know who the winner, we'll call it, is until the end of the program? For example, I love to cook, so I watch a lot of cooking shows. And people come on, like Chopped, for example, and four people come on. Well, before they even begin to cook, I will tune in. I will look at them and think, okay, which one is going to be the ultimate winner? And how you say that to yourself is important, how you word the question. Who is going to be the ultimate winner on this show? And then, because I tend to see and feel most of my impressions, the person may look different to me. I may notice them. I may be drawn to them. Maybe I even hear their name because, you know, the name was given on television. Or I just have a feeling, that someone. So by doing that, by doing that, you get your feedback by the end of the program, which, you know, is a half an hour, and you can see your accuracy then. And then let's say you're accurate. I suggest
okay.
Your eyes.
I have a question for you for a minute, though, Carol Ann. When you ask, you're so right on how you ask that question, who's going to be the ultimate winner of the show? That also, though, could be not the person that actually wins the show, but the one who gets the most business afterwards. Right?
Yes. So, yeah, you'd have to, well, yes, that's true. So you could word it differently. Who will be awarded the winner of this show or something like that?
Okay, good. I just wanted to expand people that are listening to saying, you know, you got all these possibilities. And what you said is very accurate. Very important how you word your questions. Anyway,
yes,
I just wanted to make that point and then go ahead. You get to test yourself. You know, I do that with the names. I think that's funny. You do that with the energy. I do that with the names. I go, oh, who's competing? I think these are the guys that are going to end up on top because of their names.
Exactly. Yes, right. And then what I suggest doing when you're accurate is to close your eyes and pretend you're just getting the impressions now, whether you saw it or heard it or felt it or just knew it. How did it come to you? So you begin to get a sense of how your psychic impressions work and how it feels to be accurate. And then when you're inaccurate, do exactly the same thing so you can compare the difference in the way you, let's say it came through as a feeling, in the way you feel when you're inaccurate and when you feel when you are accurate. For example, some of the people who have been in my classes have said that when they're accurate, they feel somehow very full, like they're expanding. And when they're inaccurate, they feel like they're shrinking. So they began to notice those differences. So in the future, when they had that feeling of expansion, they would know that was the winner. That was the thing that they should go for. And there are so many TV shows where, you know, you can do that. I chose the cooking show because I watch them a lot. But there are many, many other shows where you get practice in. And practice gives you the feedback. The feedback gives you the confidence.
Oh, lovely idea. Lovely idea. How do you discern what you're receiving, like where it's coming from, whether it's coming from a positive influence or a trickster or a prankster or something? How do you determine where your answer's coming from?
Well, I'm very aware when I do my readings, and I'm aware of it because these scientists kept asking me, excuse me, I'm having a post-nasal drip problem here. The scientists were always asking me, you know, what's going on inside of you? How did you get that? Why was it different? And so they made me analyze the process that I was doing, which I really had never paid any attention to. So what I discovered I did was, and I'm sure all psychics and all mediums and all healers do this, whether they know it or not, their intent is to tune into the person. So, you know, energy follows thought. So they, whether they know it or not, they connect their aura with the aura of the person they're reading. Doesn't matter if they're sitting across the room from them, whether they're across the country from them. It doesn't matter. The auras connect. And then I'm aware of getting the vibration from the individual themselves. And the reason I say that is because in my experience of 55 years in this field, my observation and experiences tell me, and I don't even like to say this because it makes us so responsible, but we choose everything that happens to us. So in our unconscious and superconscious levels, we know how this event is going to turn out. They may be asking me as a psychic because they think they don't know the answer, but unconsciously or superconsciously, they have chosen it so they do know the answer. So in reality, I'm getting the answer from them.
You know, what's really interesting, that's cool that you're getting the answer from them. You know, I just recently, anybody who's read my newsletter understands that this past Monday, I went into surgery to have reconstructive surgery on the 3 broken bones in my ankle. And so I'm going to be at bed rest for quite a while that all heals. And I agree with you that we create everything in our world. And I went, why? I asked myself, why would I have created this in my world at this time?
Exactly.
This is just, you know, and
why would
I haven't come
this.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to ask you. I said, I have not come up with an answer yet. And I always say, okay, I'm creating stuff. There's a silver lining in here somewhere. And but I do. I ask myself, why would I have done this to me?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Right, exactly. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I think any illness that someone gets, that's in my upcoming book, that we literally do it to ourselves. But I think it empowers us once we claim it. And then we're not a victim, you know, and then we don't go into victim mentality, right?
That's right. What we look for is, what lesson did I choose to learn from this? What am I supposed to learn from this? Because I want to make sure I learn it so I don't do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's terrible in one sense because you can't blame it on anyone else. You can't say, oh, God did this to me, or, you know, somebody has a spell on me, or whatever. You know, you are fully responsible for everything that happens to you because you chose
it. On some level, yes.
On some level.
And, yeah.
Yes. And usually on the unconscious or superconscious level, particularly just before we come into this lifetime, the illustration I usually use is, you're standing in the doorway to come into this lifetime, and your higher self, the higher part of yourself, is looking at, okay, what do you need to learn? What did you not learn in this past life or several past lives? And what do you need to do? What circumstances do you need to balance the scale so that you will be more balanced physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? And so you choose it, and then it happens, and some people say, oh, why did God do this to me? Well, in my opinion, God didn't. You chose it. Now, what is the lesson that you wanted yourself to learn, and really meditate on that.
So let's say someone's having a challenge in figuring out the lesson that somebody wanted to learn. I mean, I looked at it and I thought, well, now I have no excuse not to just finish up this next book, Know the Name, Know the Health, because I'm doing nothing but sitting in bed all day. Okay. So let's say somebody's having a difficult time figuring out why they would have created something that happened in their lives for a purpose. What do you suppose would be the best questions, Carol Ann, for them to ask themselves, or what would be the best way for them to go about figuring out what the benefit was of whatever it was that they had just created, even though they temporarily didn't like it?
Yeah. Well, there's several things that they can do. One is if they have a group or even one person, a friend, who is into the spiritual life too, they can say, you know, I'm trying to figure out what lesson I'm supposed to learn from this. Can you help me? And so the two of you would dialogue then. Your friend might say, well, do you realize that X, you know, and maybe it's this. And if it's right, then you know it. It feels right. You might want to, if you had your astrology chart done, you might ask the astrologer, what shows in my astrology chart that I was supposed to learn from this? Or go to a psychic and say, what was I supposed to learn from this? The best, of course, is to meditate and see if you can't reveal for yourself the reason. But if you're really stymied, turn to friends, turn to people who have things like your astrology chart or you trusted psychic or, you know, whatever, so that you make sure that you learn it so you don't put yourself in that position again. I mean, we know the story of someone who, you know, marries an abusive spouse and divorces them and then finds another one because they haven't dealt with why they feel they deserve to be treated that way. So they keep repeating that pattern. And we don't want to do that. We want to grow mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So there are many ways of getting help, insight into that. As I said, I feel the best way is for you to meditate and see what you get. And then you might pass it by your good friend who's into this stuff and say, you know, I think it might be this. What do you think? Do you think that's true? Because we are blind to, you know, many of our...
many of our own stuff, many of our own creations. Okay,
yes.
And that leads us right into our first break. And when we come back, we'll find out, how do we know that we're not simply making up our own answers, that they're actually real? Stay tuned.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Mark Twain said the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The why is hidden in your name. Sharon Lynn Wyeth has created a scientific way of deciphering your name to reveal your contract for this lifetime. And your name even specifies the seven areas that are subsets of your soul's overall goal. Your name identifies who you are to both yourself and others. What does your name say about you? Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for your stunning name review.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. I'm your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Carol Ann Liaros. Now, you can reach her on her website, which is the same as her name. Carol is spelt the normal way, C-A-R-O-L. Ann is spelt the short way, A-N-N. And Liaros is L-I-A-R-O-S. So it's Carol Ann Liaros, LIAROS.com. And again, it's always on my website. You can go to knowthename.com and go to the schedule page and just click on the radio show, and her bio is there and all of her contact information. Okay, so Carol Ann, how do we know that we're not simply making up our answers as we go along, that there's actually some truth or some spirituality in those answers?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are several ways, and the way I recommend, because I did it in the beginning myself, because I didn't discover I was psychic and could do these things till I was 29. So I was always questioning in the beginning, am I really psychic or am I just more observant? And how do we know I'm not guessing? And, you know, all those kinds of things that go through one's mind when you suddenly discover you're doing these things. Anyway, I started carrying a little notebook with me. And whenever I got an impression of anything, whether I saw it or heard it or felt it or smelled it or tasted it, I would put down the date, because I discovered from the scientific world there, these things are very important. I put down the date and the time. And then I wrote down exactly what I got, not my interpretation of what I got, but let's say I saw a flash of someone asked me, what am I career am I going to have, and I saw a flash of white, and I smelled an antiseptic smell, and I heard noise like in a hospital. So I would write that down instead of saying, oh, you're going to be a doctor or a nurse, because that's an interpretation. But the way it came was I actually saw these things and smelled them and felt them, etc. And then I would, under that, then I would put my interpretation, and then I would leave room at the bottom of the page so that I could write down what actually what did happen. For example, if someone said, you know, well, yes, I am planning on being a doctor, and then I would put that down. But what I did was each night, not every night, believe me, but when I felt like it, I would sit there and I would say to myself, because I lived in New York State at the time, what of significance is going to happen in Western New York in the next 60 days? And then I would wait to see what I saw or felt, you know. And sometimes when you get a feeling or you see something, it's not vivid and sharp and a sign above it that says this is a psychic impression. You know, we wish it would work that way. But anyway, I would write down whatever I got and then my interpretation, and then I would tell my volunteers what I had done the night before, because I didn't read the newspapers or watch television or anything. So then I would say, what significance is going to happen in the United States in the next 60 days and in the globe in the next 60 days? And so, you know, I could stimulate, I could get feedback, you know, and so on. So what I discovered was sometimes I'd just be sitting there, maybe in a doctor's office waiting to go in, and I would suddenly have a feeling about something. And so I'd pull out my notebook and I'd write it down exactly as I said, the date, the time, exactly what I got, my interpretation, and then when I got back to my office, I would tell my volunteers, again, what I got, whether it was about an individual or the globe or politics or whatever it was. And they would give me feedback. Well, the feedback is so important. Number one, it helps you gain that confidence. Number two, you're going to find that you have certain personal symbols that when you see them, you know what they mean because of the interpretation you got or the feedback you got from however you get your feedback. For example, whenever I see a suit, white shirt, and a tie, I know this individual, this is a man who is a businessman because of the suit, white shirt, and tie. Now, there's some universal symbols that we see, too. For example, when I see a golden light around any scene I'm seeing, let's say I'm giving a reading, and it's all lit up and, you know, so on. Well, obviously, that's positive. Should I take this job offer that, you know, I received? And maybe I might see yes written out, and it's all glowing, so it's a really good opportunity. Or if it shrinks down and becomes almost like heavy feeling or gray looking, that obviously is a no. That somehow, I may not know the reason, but somehow that's not going to work out for that individual. So by keeping this notebook, you learn your own personal symbols, you learn how to interpret better, you learn timing. Do you tend to get information 24 hours in advance, an hour in advance, a month in advance, 6 months in advance? So timing then becomes more clear to you because timing, I know from other psychics and myself, that timing is the hardest thing in this psychic readings, because you might say, well, you're going to be changing jobs. Well, of course, the person wants to know when. That's very important to them. So by being able to get a sense of your own timing and the accuracy of it, that helps you very much being more accurate on questions you ask about yourself and your own future or others, whether, you know, your spouse, whether your children, whether friends. Most people who come to workshops do not want to be a professional psychic. They just want to be able to be more accurate in their own life's decisions, I've discovered. So that's one way to really, you know, it's down there. You've written it down. You can't fool yourself into believing you did better or worse than you did. So some people tend to say, yes, but, you know, and they talk themselves out of the experience, out of the accuracy. So there it is. You wrote it down, you dated it, you timed it, you were 100% accurate on that thing, and so you begin to realize, yes, yeah, I am good at this. And that's another aspect. You learn what you're most accurate in, like I did. Like I said, I discovered I can't find lost objects. I can't find my own. And so predicting the future, personality analysis, some psychic diagnosing, those are the things that I'm most accurate on, I discovered, by doing exactly what I'm suggesting others do, and they find it works.
So is there also a way of awakening some of the psychic potential by doing what you just explained?
I'm sorry, but your voice is very muffled.
So
you ask again?
Is that very similar to how somebody would awaken their psychic potential from doing what you just were stating?
Something's wrong with the phone or your
Is doing what you just said a good way of also awakening somebody's psychic potential? So if they are doing that, that they become more psychic as they're practicing it that way?
Oh, very good point. Yes, you're right. Absolutely. And it's like anything else. The more you use a muscle, you know, the stronger it becomes. So absolutely correct. And it's fun. I mean, if you're doing the TV shows thing where you're trying to get your accuracy and get that feedback and your confidence in yourself, it's fun, too. At first, I was a little hesitant to let people know. I said, you know, I'd like to practice. Do you have a photograph of someone that I don't know? Could I hold it? Because I discovered I did psychometry. I touched the picture, and then I would see and hear things. And they would then give me immediate feedback again. And it was fun because I discovered I was picking up things about their future, which was very helpful to them. So keep it lighthearted. Like in my workshops, I always say, you know, who's our most psychic you know, potential people, our children. So approach it that way, you know, playful, fun, enjoyable. I used to go into human dimensions, and if I was feeling weighted down and I didn't feel lighthearted, I didn't feel good, I would begin to laugh and joke with the staff, you know, and so on. So then I could go into the experiment they set up that day with this lighthearted thing of, now this sounds like I'm being facetious, but I'm not, with the idea of, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. Let's just play with this. And I didn't set up the experiment. I didn't invest the money in this experiment. So it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. Now, that sounds facetious, but it helped me be objective so that I didn't feel the weight of, okay, they spent months setting up this experiment. I know money was invested in it and so on. And so that heavy responsibility would make me tense, which would make me less psychic. So by keeping this lighthearted, fun, childlike, not childish, childlike feeling and attitude really does help.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think becoming the non-emotional observer of what's going on always helps our accuracy.
Right. Exactly. Very well put. Yes. That's exactly right, because you just can't get invested in it, because, it, like my children will come to me and say, I want a reading, and I'd say, you know, I can't. I know what you want. You know, I know what you need, what you want, and what you, all that. And that'll get in the way, and then my daughter would say, okay, that's, you said that, now give me a reading. So what I tried to do, right. What I tried to do was, when I held her object, because that's how I do my work, I would tell myself, I would like program myself to say, this belongs to a stranger, this belongs to a stranger. I don't know this person. It belongs. And when I could get that feeling, then I could be more objective. When I can't get that feeling, then the mother part of me gets in the way.
Well, I think that's why so many psychics have friends that are other psychics, so that you can get answers for each other, because you're so tied to your own answer that you don't get your own answers as clearly.
Yeah, you can't be objective. Yeah, because you know what you want, and that does get in the way.
So you have a lot of connection with Edgar Cayce. And so how did he do this?
How what?
How did he connect in?
Oh,
you know,
he would go into a trance. He'd lie down and put his hands over his solar plexus, close his eyes, and he'd go into a trance. And he learned to do that from being hypnotized earlier on. And then the way he described it is that he would access what he called the Akashic Records, which is an imprint on the ethers of every single thing that every person who has ever lived, etc., has this record, if you will, in an energy way on the etheric energies. And so he would tune in that way. And his accuracy was phenomenal with diagnosing and prescribing. He was so amazing that way. Now, once in a while, according to the records, he would see someone who was passed on, but that was very rare, apparently.
And so are you able to do that also, Carol Ann? Do you have that gift also, where you're looking at somebody's future, that would also involve health?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Very definitely. Now, I definitely am not as accurate as he was, but I've been very helpful for many people with the psychic diagnosing, which, of course, is illegal in every state in the union. I was without a license, but, hey, I made a contract with the universe when I started this career 55 years ago. You take care of me, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do. So far, knock on wood, I've not been arrested.
You know, it's interesting. My favorite saying, the one that I made a deal with, is when I do my best, God will do the rest. And I think that's available for all of us.
if I'm doing the best, the highest of what I know, and I'm utilizing that knowledge which I currently hold, then what I don't know is going to be taken care of by the universe because I'm doing as much as I can.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's worked. It's worked for us all these years.
Yeah, and that'll work for everybody. Just, and I think some of it's just reminding, you know, the individual just needs to remind ourselves that, hey, I'm doing my best, so God gets to do the rest. You know, and
yes.
You just kind of let it go and go. I mean, and I know that when I became a single parent, there were times when I thought, God, your children down here that are in my care really need their dad right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So would you step in or have your angels step in because I'm requesting help on their behalf. I'm doing my best. You really do need to do the rest. You know?
Yes. And people say, well, you know, that works for you, but it won't work for me. Well, it works for everyone if you do it.
It does work for everyone. Okay, we're talking with right now Carol Ann Liaros, and her website again is her name, Carol Ann, the regular way, no extra E's, and Liaros is Liaros.com. And when we come back, we're going to ask what is significant that will be happening in the next 90 days for the U.S. Stay tuned to find out.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Are you feeling lost, confused, absolutely clueless? No way out, over, under, or through? Then it's time to have the Light Keepers, through their conduit, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, guide you by shining their light, illuminating the right path for you. Let Sharon share the wisdom of the ancient masters to guide you on what is coming next for you and to show you the silver lining in your current circumstances. Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for a joyful, info-packed Lightkeepers session.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. You are with Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is renowned psychic. She's worldwide renowned, has clients from all around the world that she has established quite a track record over the last 55 years. And her name is Carol Ann Liaros. And again, her website is her name, and Liaros is L-I-A-R-O-S. Okay, Carol Ann, we all would love to see you in action. So our question is, what is significant that's going to happen in the next 90 days here in the U.S.?
Let me see. Well, I think it's going to extend beyond 90 days, but I have the impression that people are tired. Now, that sounds logical. I don't watch the news. I don't get the newspaper. I don't listen to the radio news. So how I get my news is when I go out to a restaurant, for example, and I'm eating and I hear people talking. Well, I feel that people have had it. They feel as if they have given away so much of their power that they're now beginning to get hungry to get that power back again. And they've given away their power to the things that have occurred on the news, you know, about the coronavirus, about wars, about murders, about all those things. And the restrictions that have been put on people are beginning to really chafe for them. They feel as if their hands are tied behind their back, that they have no freedom, that they are very little, that they don't have any power, and they're beginning to feel very disempowered. Now, that's on an emotional, mental level, but also on the spiritual level. They know that they are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so I think you're going to find a lot of rebellion going on, a lot of people deciding this is what I'm willing to live with, and this is what I'm not willing to live with. So it depends upon what their stance is. They're going to stand up and want to be counted. And so they're going to insist, if you will, to have more and more of the power be put back into their hands where they have more freedom, etc. The restrictions have so wounded, on the soul level that they are finding they can't put up with it any longer. And so you're going to see a lot of local people rebelling in different ways. I don't mean taking guns and shooting. I don't mean that. But, for example, those who don't believe in wearing masks, they're not going to wear masks. And they're going to gather together, and they're going to become united, and they're going to become a power in that belief, whatever their belief happens to be, rather than just inside, feeling angry and disempowered. And so I think that's what's going to be well beyond the 90 days, but you're going to see very strong signs of that before the end of the year.
In the political arena, do you see that Biden will make that all the way to the end? There's a lot of talk about his health and his resiliency and what's going on and the filing of lawsuits against him by senators and speakers of the House for how he handled Afghanistan. Do you see him weathering the storm, or do you see him collapsing with it?
It's so interesting because I have absolutely no interest in politics, so let me see what I get with that. So the question is, will he serve out his full term? I see a big no written. That's the answer I get, no. And it's interesting because every time someone asks a question, I never know how the answer is going to come. Like in this instance, there's just a big no written out.
Okay, so another concern that's currently in the news that I'm sure people would love your impression on and what you're receiving is that La Palma, the volcano from the Canary Islands, has been exploding and really devastating that island. And there's a lot of earthquakes that are being caused by it that are now rumbling underneath the oceans and even warming up underneath New York City. And there's a lot of talk of causing the part of the mountain to fall, which would cause then a big tsunami against our East Coast. Do you see that mountain falling, or do you see that they can contain it and that there's enough prayer work that it's not going to cause a tsunami for our East Coast?
Let me look at that. I don't see a tsunami, no. No, it's almost seeing an image of a tsunami, but there's a wall there, so it doesn't hit. So the answer is no.
Oh, good. So I'm going to say that wall is probably the wall of prayer that is stopping it. Another concern that a lot of people are concerned about right now, also that I'm hearing about, is the results being announced tomorrow of the recount in Arizona, and if that, just like you said earlier, that people aren't going to take much anymore, you're seeing some rebellions or
some resistance, if that is going to be an igniter of some of this resistance once those results are announced tomorrow, or how well will that be taken?
I see a lot of turmoil around that. It's not going to be taken well.
As a whole,
yes. And so, you know, it's almost like it's not really the start of the rebellion and people doing what they know is right for them, I'll say, word it that way. But it's one of the factors, one of the incidents, I guess I should say.
It comes down. Okay, and then the last question around this future that we know that you're so good at is there's also been a lot of talk about food shortages coming in, about truckers not being able to get the food to the grocery stores, about farmers not being able to plant the food that they've been paid off not to. And anyway, there's just a lot of fear, so a lot of people are starting to hoard or plan for the future to prepare now with their food. And what do you see on food supplies for the next 3 months?
Yeah, see, I've had that feeling for over a year about that. So my psychic feeling is that is going to happen, that is not just, a fear or a rumor, excuse me, or whatever, that this is going to happen. That's the strong feeling I've had for over a year.
So is electricity also going to be a concern during the same period of time, or will we have electricity and just people need to prepare for food?
Just preparing for food.
Okay. Because, you know, if they have electricity, you prepare for some foods, and if you don't have electricity, you might be preparing for other foods. And
right.
Do you see it only lasting the 3 months, or do you see it lasting a longer period of time than that, where there's a food shortage?
A longer period of time, yes. Yeah, and I don't like to be a negative person, but then there's reality.
Well, I don't look at it as negative. I always think forewarned is forearmed. Now
yeah, well,
you can
see,
do something.
I agree with you. Exactly, yeah. I agree with you. But I don't tell too many people this impression because they think, you know, that I'm being negative. So unless they ask like you just did, I don't say anything to them. But I agree. If you're forewarned, that's a value of getting a psychic reading. That's a value of getting a reading from you. If you know it's coming, you can prepare for it.
Right, right. I wish I would have asked somebody about this ankle of mine.
Yes.
Is there anything upcoming, any event that you're having, or just tell us again how to get a hold of you for readings and anything that you've got coming up, any classes or anything?
Well, on the first Thursday of every month, from 1 to 3, a small group of us meet to discuss all these different subjects, and beginning in November, it will be See, I don't do computers. It'll be live streamed on Facebook. And it's not going to be before them because no one in the group knows how to do that, and my daughter will be here then. So it will be live streamed. It's from 1 to 3, the first Thursday of every month. And each time we discuss a different subject. It might be reincarnation. It might be nutrition. It might be psychic. Whatever the group wants to talk about. And then people can call in, too, and ask their question while we're meeting.
Okay.
And if people are reading, I have to do is contact my office, and my assistant will set the reading up for them.
Okay, so how do they contact your office? Do they do that through your website?
Through my website, or the telephone number is 716-876-4414, and the readings last a half an hour, and I really encourage people to record them so they can play them back, because sometimes you hear what you want to hear, not what was actually said, or you're so interested in what's being said that you miss part of the reading, you know. So I really encourage people to record them.
Okay, so on your first Thursday of every month from 1 to 3 Eastern time,
I wanted to make sure that that was out there, that it was Eastern time. If somebody wanted to join you on that, how would they go about doing that?
If someone wanted to what?
If somebody wanted to join you on that first Thursday, do they do that through the website or do they call your office? How do they get involved in being able to listen to you on that first Thursday of the month?
They'll be live streamed on Facebook, so all they have to do is contact my office, and Kathy will tell them how to do that.
Okay, great. Well, I was thinking October's coming up, and you're not going to be on Facebook or until November, so I was thinking.
No. Yeah, I'm so computer.
How did they get there in October? Okay, so I'll send out a reminder in my newsletter when that's coming up so that it'll help everybody remember that that's going to be an opportunity. Okay.
Great. And
I just want to thank you again, Carol Ann, for taking your time to be with us today. It's always most appreciated when you're with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I really enjoy it. And the service you're doing for people can't be measured. You probably are changing many, many more lives than you have any idea of.
Well, I love helping people, and I think all of us that have first vowels of an A do that just naturally.
Mm.
Yeah, because we our acts of love or our language of love is through service. So Carol Ann, you've got that in your name, I've got that in my name. That's just how most people with the first vowel of an A, unless there's something else in their name that would counteract that, but that's just how we are. So anyway, I so want to thank you again. Okay,
thanks.
Next week, everybody, is Open Lines. It's the fifth Thursday of the month, which means it's my turn alone without a special wonderful guest. And so you get to call in, ask your questions, and I'll be answering. Also, in 2 days' time, you will be receiving, for those of you that are on the newsletter, a special invitation. Every year on my birthday, I send out an opportunity for everyone that wants to take advantage of it. And so that will be hitting your mailboxes in 2 days. You need to be able to act on Saturday because it happens to be my birthday. And then you get to take advantage of that fabulous opportunity because I feel that our birthdays are the best time of the year to give gifts instead of receiving gifts. This is Sharon Lynn Wyeth thanking you once again for tuning in to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. And with that, I'll sign off.
Gazing in the mirror, an image of an angel smiling back at her. No wounds or imperfections, just beauty and its glow. Her laughter and her heart, a reflection of her soul. Of her, the light slightly dimmed, her reflection unseen, and all the